All right, welcome to the Real Presence, Real Future podcast, a podcast dedicated to increasing the presence of Christ throughout the diocese. I'm Father Mike Hartshe, and I'm here again with Father Hahn, our Director of Vocations and Vicar for Clergy. Father, thanks for being with me.
Hey, it's great to be back on.
Can you start us off with our prayer for mission renewal?
Sure. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God, our Father, we entrust Real Presence, Real Future to your providence. Through your Holy Spirit, inspire us for mission and evangelization. Make us disciples after the heart of your Son. In times of uncertainty, grant firm resolve. When we are unsettled, provide peace. When we are timid, make us courageous. With our ears, may we hear your promptings. With our eyes, may we see your handiwork. With our mouths, may we share the gospel. And with our hands, may we serve you. Replace our hesitation with holy enthusiasm, so that in drawing strength from the Eucharist, every endeavor of ours may be for your glory. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
So thanks, Father. So something that has come up, it's not been a major theme, but I've read in some of the feedback, some people saying, as we talk about, you know, needing priests and formation and stuff, get guys, don't make the seminary so long.
Yeah.
Get them through quicker. Okay. So, I mean, I understand that's what, you know, thank you for, you know, for sharing that. As we know, you know, formation really can't be truncated. There's certain things that we got to cover, and not just from the intellectual standpoint of just like, just getting your degree or something like that. So like when we were in the seminary, I mean, there had, you know, what was called the Program for Priestly Formation that I think the Vatican, you know, puts out, right? Is that from Rome?
Yeah, they put out the basis of it, and then Bishop's Conference then kind of, tailors it to themselves and gets that approved from Rome. But
So the PPF, the Program for Priestly Formation, what we're used to is kind of what, based on Rome's guidelines
and then
what we can do in the U.S. Okay. So in the PPF, there are these kind of centered around these like four pillars. So the pastoral, human, intellectual, and spiritual, right? So those are in the PPF. And I know there's a new program for priestly formation that just came out. So as you've been reading that and looking ahead to the next seminary year and supporting the seminarians there, what's changed from first of all, are those four pillars still there?
Again,
and are there any like changes and updates to that?
Yeah, so I would say like those four pillars, like that focus is still there of those four, plus missionary discipleship seems to be a really key thing through it all. But probably the biggest reorganizing or changing is, I like the way you said, like formation can't be truncated. And so formation is so important. When we speak of formation, we're speaking of like how is the man being formed into a priest? Like how is he going to be fully, as well as he can be a representative of Jesus Christ and his person. And every person's formation takes different time periods, you know, different. So the big, probably the most noticeable change to the seminary side of it is that when we were in seminary, we would refer to everything as I'm in, you know, college one, college two, college three, or I'm in theology one, two, or three, pre-theology one. So it was always, I'm in a certain year, and as soon as I complete that year, I'm moving on to the next year.
Okay.
You know, meaning that as soon as I complete my academics for that year, I'm moving on to the next year. And it didn't take into account that human formation, like how we are as our human virtue, how we interact with people, all those kind of things, those aren't on an academic schedule. You know? So
right.
So what the new PPF has reorganized it is the stages. And so four stages, propaedeutic stage is the entrance, which is an odd name. But it's kind of like if you were to compare it to something in religious life, it'd be like the novitiate year, the year of just kind of getting introduced to things, not really doing any kind of deep study or anything, but getting introduced into life of the seminary or the life of the priesthood. Second stage is the discipleship stage, the stage where you're really trying to learn how to follow Jesus as closely as you can. Like that's the focus. It's just your own knowledge of the Lord and your following of the Lord and stirring up that love. The third is the configuration stage, which would in the academic world would be akin to theology. You're moving in now to be focused on like, I'm going to learn now, how do I celebrate the sacraments as a priest? What's it look like to have that knowledge as a priest? So it's configuring to Jesus Christ, the high priest, is what that stage is. And then the final stage is called the vocational synthesis stage. And that means kind of bringing together all of your study, all of your human formation, everything, and trying to live it in the parish. And it foresees this probably being between 6 and 12 months. So what the seminarian is going to practically see change is at the beginning of the, when you come into the propedeutic stage. So currently a guy comes to me, he's interested in becoming a seminarian. We go through all the process, then the application and all that. Then we put him into college one, you know, if he's right out of high school, pre-theology one, if he's got some, got a college degree, and then everybody else in between, yeah, between right, those two. Right. So that'll be a little different now. That'll be, they'll go to this propedeutic stage, and that'll be more, philosophy is not allowed to be offered during that time. So they can't study philosophy because it's recognized by the church that that takes a lot of your intellectuals, you know, as you know, like your, it takes your time, your energy, everything. And that first year is really supposed to be about your relationship with the Lord and your relationship with community and coming to know, coming to work on yourself as a man before the Lord. Okay. So that is not even meant to be done in the seminary. It's meant to be done somewhere in the diocese. Though the Vatican, this is something they went back and forth. The Vatican said it can be at a seminary, but it should be a separate house, separate faculty.
Okay. So, well, it's really encouraging. I mean, that's a pretty deep dive, I think, and restructuring a little bit, or at least giving more attention to seminary formation. Is it going to make it longer? So if you add that propedeutic year, do guys still do, say they come in after college, they still do propedeutic year, then 2 years of pre-theology, then theology, or how does that, how might it look?
It's still a question. So some seminaries are structuring, but so the places where the seminaries are offering the propedeutic year, some are trying to structure it in a way that a guy is getting enough of his other general electives during that first year that he doesn't lose that year.
So you can take some classes, just not the philosophy type.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, that would only work, of course, for those going into the college because a pre-theologian already has a college degree, so he doesn't need those general electives. So he's going to have still a minimum of 3 years before he goes into that next stage because he'll have propedeutic stage, kind of getting accustomed to formation, and then the 2 years of philosophy after that is part of that.
Well, it's encouraging. I mean, I'm in some sense, I'm a little jealous. I mean, not that I would have wanted my seminary to take any longer than it did or ever go back to it. But that sounds exciting, I guess, you know, to me, to have like that year to, I don't know, transition, right? A little bit from the world to like getting your mind thinking differently, that you've been doing all this discerning. Now, I want to go to the seminary. And taking that time and allowing the church to provide some of that time for you to, I guess, switch over, you know, mentally, intellectually, spiritually to being all in for formation.
Yeah, I agree. I think I would love to have that. You know, the closest thing I had, we had a 6-week spiritual quarter at the time in our first year. It was only done for a few years, but it was just the 6 weeks where you were simply reading the lives of the saints, you're working on your prayer life. It was just a really great time of growing closer to the Lord in a way that just wasn't possible in the other ways. Yeah. So the young men that I've talked to about it, like most are really excited. Like they love this idea of, and there's usually like a media fast with it. So like you don't have your phone, you know, like maybe on Saturday you get your phone back and you can do, you know, so it's like this idea of kind of, disconnecting some of out of the secular culture. I mean, part of this is coming out of secularism in the West. The Vatican is concerned, like, are our guys making a transition, you know, and so this is going to be kind of helping.
Well, as we've seen, too, it doesn't affect every guy, but it's pretty rampant, you know, just, addiction to things, sexual addictions, you know, screen time, all that kind of stuff. And it's very real. Yeah. And so for Rome, I guess, to acknowledge that we're, the guys entering the seminary aren't always starting from this point where they were, you know, probably 30, 40 years ago of like strong family household and good prayer life. And this is what I want. So there's a lot of kind of remedial work, I guess, what I'm trying to say to do and to recognize that. And it's encouraging.
So it is. I think that's probably the most exciting part of the changes. And then on the other side, at the ending, the last stage, the vocational synthesis stage, that's the other change. So currently, and many of our listeners may know this, may not, that usually at the end of their third year of theology, they're ordained a deacon. Mm-hmm. They go back, they spend the summer in a parish as a deacon, and then they go for one more year of seminary as a deacon. Then at the end of that year, they get ordained a priest. So now it's going to be, you won't get ordained a deacon until your seminary is complete. And then you'll get ordained a deacon, and then you'll be in a parish for probably 6 to 12 months as a deacon, completely on a seminary now. And the idea there is that when a young priest comes into a parish, there's so much to get used to as a cleric, and mm-hmm. being now the center of attention and people asking you for things. And so they're trying to keep them from worrying about a mass homily every day and confessions every day. Mm-hmm. So to give them a time at first to just kind of ease into clerical life. And then ordain them. Plus, it gives us the time to finally say, okay, this guy's now comfortable with this living, and now he's ready to be ordained a priest.
That's great. That's a big change. That's pretty significant too. Mm-hmm. That is very visible. Well, thanks, Father. And so, hopefully, I guess to the listeners of this podcast, as we wrap up, and we see ourselves trying to renew the church in the Diocese of Columbus, and just get used to the idea of a change in mindset about how we relate to the church, parish wise, and all that kind of stuff. That the Universal Church is doing this too.
Yeah,
renewing, and she's been at work on that now. The program for priestly formation doesn't just come out overnight. She's been working on it, and striving for renewal, striving to do things better and to help us to grow in holiness ultimately. So thanks for sharing some about that. I think it's very encouraging. Hopefully our listeners find it encouraging as well, and hopefully get us kind of ready, I guess, just to allow the Lord, to work on us and change us, hopefully for the better, for that growth in holiness and whatever vocation we have. Good. Thanks a lot, Father.
Yeah, thank you.